You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. Matt Leach talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Philly beat reporter, Todd Zielecki. Todd, which is more real? The really strong starts by Odubel Herrera and Freddy Galvis, and I still want to pronounce that like Odubel McDowell instead of Odubel. Shows my age. Those two guys off to really good starts, or the really slow starts by Ryan Howard and Chase Utley?
Oh, boy, that is tough, because when you group those two guys, group those guys in pairs, because I tend to think that Odubel Herrera can be a pretty good hitter. Now, probably, you know, if he hits over 300 by the end of the year, nobody will be more surprised than me, but he does have the makings of a guy that could be a pretty good top-of-the-order contact guy, you know, 275, 280, 285. He seems to be that type of guy, or have that type of potential. You know, Freddy Galvis is off to an unbelievable start, but I keep going back to his career numbers in the big leagues and his career numbers in the minor leagues, and those numbers are always around, you know, batting average between 220, 240, and OPS around the 630, 640, 650 mark. So I tend to think he's going to cool off. You know, they've talked a lot about working the philosophy of hitting and taking a shorter swing and those types of things. But, boy, you know, I guess I'm a guy that I have to see you do it first before I believe that you're actually there. And, you know, if Freddy Galvis can keep it up, that's great. But I just don't know if he can do it the entire season. Now, on the other hand, you have Utley. And I know this sounds like, you know, a lot of hitters say this, is like, well, he's really hit a lot of hard balls lately right at people, but Utley really has over the past several days. He's hit a lot of good line drive outs, a lot of hard ground ball outs that haven't gone through. So I tend to think that he is going to get things turned around. Certainly nobody in the organization seems overly worried about it. Now, Howard, on the other hand, I think there is some real concern there with his bat. You know, he hit a home run Tuesday night against the Marlins, his first of the season. So I think they're hoping that maybe that can get the ball rolling a little bit. But as we talked about last week on the podcast, he's getting a really steady diet of fastballs in the strike zone. And so far he hasn't been able to really make much use of it. So to me, that's kind of a concerning issue going forward for him.
Looking elsewhere around this lineup, there are a couple other things that really jump out. What are they going to do with Grady Sizemore?
That's a great question, because Dominic Brown right now, they've really extended his rehab stint in AAA out. Pretty much sounds like they're going to give him the full 20 days, even though he doesn't need the full 20 days health-wise. I think what they're saying is that they just want to give him at bats. But when Dominic Brown comes back, which should be sometime next week, I think his 20th day on that rehab clock is April 28th, so he should be back late next week. When he does come back, you look around that roster and you say, "All right, well, you need some right-handed bats on the team. So you got to keep Darren Ruff around. You got to keep Jeff Francoeur around. You need more than one infielder. So Andres Blanco and Cesar Hernandez are probably going to stick around. And then you look at it and go, okay, Dominic Brown, young player that they still think might have some promise." Hits left-handed, Grady Sizemore, older player, not really doing much of anything since last August. He hits left-handed. So you wonder if his spot on the roster might be kind of coming down to the end. I mean, this is just my opinion. Like I said, when you look at the roster and you see kind of the pieces, you go, they're kind of the same player in some ways, and that they're just two left-handed outfielders. Left-handed hitting outfielders, and do you really need two of them on the roster right now?
Excuse me. Even after scoring seven runs the other night, and again, just to keep looking around this offense, even after scoring seven runs in their last game, they're still last in the majors at under three runs per game. How does this get better? I understand it's a rebuilding year, but at some point, there's got to be that. Can't be okay. How does this offense get to where it's at least adequate?
Yeah, that basically what they're going to have to hope for is a lot of these guys just get a little bit closer to the career averages. And I'm not saying that, you know, Ryan Howard's not going to get back to his career averages. Chase Utley's not going to be the hitter that he once was, you know, between 2005 and 2010, but at least be a little bit more productive. Same thing with Carlos Ruiz, Darren Ruff. I think they're certainly hoping that Cody Ashe, Odubel Herrera, Freddy Galvis can continue to hit. I think they're expecting more from Ben Revere. So really there's not much they can do, because here's the thing. They don't really have a guy waiting in the wings ready to come up and take somebody's job. Now, Michael Franco, their third base prospect, can play a little bit of first base. He's off to a great start in AAA, and I think he's going to be a guy that could get a look at some point in the future. But I believe, as we've discussed before, maybe in a previous podcast or two, if he stays in the minor leagues until mid-May, late May, they could possibly get an extra year of team control under him. So instead of becoming a free agent after 2020, he could become a free agent after 2021. So right now there's almost zero incentive to call him up and give him a shot. So at some point, maybe after May, June, July, if Howard is still really struggling, then maybe you can bring up Michael Franco. But really, Matthew, other than that, there's not a lot of guys knocking at the door of this team. They have some guys in AA that are off to pretty good starts. Roman Quinn, the center fielder, Aaron Altair, corner outfielder, that are off to really good starts. But again, the way the Phillies look at it is, we don't want to rush these guys because we know we're not going to win this year. So let's kind of allow them to gain confidence, gain experience at the minor level, continue to bring them up at the proper pace. And hopefully, when they do come up here, they're here and ready to succeed right away. Then, rather than calling them up too early out of desperation, and then you kind of set them back and you ruin their confidence, or you get their mechanics out of whack, or something else happens along those lines.
The recently read that there was Chad Billingsley missed a start. Doesn't sound like it's anything significant, but in a club looking for bright spots, he's been encouraging, and it's kind of a reason to be optimistic. Is he still heading the right direction? Is he still getting closer to joining the Major League roster?
Yeah, I think so. He's probably got three more rehab starts to make. That's based off of what he said. A week ago, he said he was going to make five rehab starts. He's made two to this point, so three more to go. Looks like he could join the rotation sometime in early May. And yeah, that is a guy that they are optimistic about. They hope that he can come in and kind of solidify that number five spot in the rotation, which is currently being held by Sean O'Sullivan. And in the best case scenario, Chad Billingsley pitches great, looks like his old self, and at the trade deadline, a team looking for a starting pitcher goes, hey, wow, Chad Billingsley, he's only making $1.5 million this year, and he's a free agent after this season. Maybe we can get him from the Phillies, and maybe the Phillies can get a decent prospect in return. So I think certainly the Phillies are keeping their fingers crossed that something along those lines can actually take place.
All right. And now that we're wrapped up talking about this year's club for the time being, let's talk about the past. The Franchise 4 results came out, or the first round results at least. The top of the Phillies list is pretty obvious. Mike Schmidt and Steve Carlton would be pretty hard guys to ignore, as would Richie Ashburn. Chase Utley slots in at fourth with Jim Bunning, Chuck Klein, Robin Roberts, and Jimmy Rollins on the outside. Anything about that you would change if it were your vote? And I guess you could vote. Any of those guys on the outside that you would bump in over one of the four guys who are on that list?
You know, for me, it was very surprising that Jimmy Rollins is not in that top four, just because he set the franchise hits record last year, and he really has meant so much to this organization from 2000 until 2014. You know, he doesn't necessarily have, the overall, I guess, like the OPS type numbers to compare with Utley, but when you talk about influence on an organization, he was there from the very beginning. He was a guy that not only played an all-star caliber shortstop, won some gold gloves, won the MVP in 2007, hit at the top of the lineup, hit for power at the top of the lineup. But he also was a very influential member in this clubhouse. You know, you remember before the 2007 season, he said, yeah, I think we're the team to beat. I know we finished 14 games behind the Mets a year earlier, but I think we're the team to beat. And he really backed up those words, and I think he created a little bit of swagger in that Phillies clubhouse. So I guess I'm surprised that he's not somewhere in that top four. Utley obviously is a fan favorite, and he's, I mean, if he didn't have injuries kind of derail his career for a few years there, I mean, that's a guy also that could be headed to the Hall of Fame someday. But I would think Rollins would be in there. Certainly Mike Schmidt is a no-brainer. Steve Carlton is one of the greatest left-handers in baseball history. Richie Ashburn not only was a great player in the 50s, but he was a revered broadcaster, so I'm sure that has something to do with it as well. But, you know, honestly, I wouldn't have a problem if it was Schmidt, Carlton, Rollins, and Utley. To me, that makes a lot of sense. Although, you know, again, you can make an argument for Chase, and you can make an argument for Richie Ashburn as well.
All right, well, Todd Zalecki, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.